Father, we come now and say thank you. Thank you that you have blessed us to be at this point in our lives when we are at a place where we give you all the honor and the glory that we know how to give. And we said thank you, God. Bless us as we go into your service. And may everything we do be to the glory of you. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Ushers, you may take your seat. Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory for the great things he's done. Sister Linda and Sister Tony, I just thought about a line. It says, praise is what I do. And praise is who I am. When nothing else seemed to be going okay, if you can just muster up a praise, everything will be all right. And I keep saying this, if in the midst of your trouble, if you can just muster up enough strength to throw both hands towards heaven, close your eyes, and just say thank you. What a blessing and what a relief that will be. What a blessing that would be. Most times on May Day weekend, I try to do something to make you think about where you come from. And I'm going to do that today. But I'm going to do that from what we call the model prayer. And for a subject, just two words, let's pray. That's a wonderful phrase that says a lot to us if we are believers and we believe in prayer. And I don't want y'all to stop reciting the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, but I want you to, after today, I want you to look at it from a different angle, because I stand and I sit and I hear people spew it out of their mouths, and I've done the same thing, and some of us do it and so casual like, and we just going through the motion. But if you are a real down show enough, I'm not talking about play like, if you are a real believer, when you utter those words, it means something to you. It means something to you when you utter those words in that passage of scripture that was read in your hearing. Or what do you feel when you hear someone say, let's pray? Does that arouse something inside of you that you know that it's there, but it's just like smelling a cake after you've already had a slice of the cake. You know what it is and you know how good it tastes. But there's nothing like, help me, Holy Ghost, getting another piece. Or talking to you, your daddy. Point number one. The believer's prayer is to be a surrender. The believer's prayer is to be a surrender. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. How did you come away from there with that baggage? Because we said in that verse, pray after this manner. Therefore say, our Father. That tells me that I have surrendered unto Him, unto God. And that God is part of my family. When a person genuinely says, Father, he is surrendering to God. He is denying all humanism that's in the world and that is in himself. He is denying his own self-sufficiency and all other gods that there may be in this world. I'm surrendering myself to this Father, this God that I call Lord. And He is the Lord, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. When we pray, our Father, a person is surrendering his independence and he is accepting God as part of his family. In fact, He's been exalted to the head. God has assumed the responsibility of the family because I call him Father. The surrender of the believer takes him to where his Father is. And you leave out of the physical world that you know and you enter into the spiritual world. The believer surrenders and sets his mind and his heart upon the kingdom of God and upon his righteousness. His whole being is surrendered and committed to seeking the things of the spiritual world. If you don't believe it, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You got to know that you got to leave this world and you need a ticket before you leave. And you purchase your ticket while you are down here. You shouldn't wait to get, be on standby. You need to have your ticket. You need to make reservations. You need to make preparation for your seat on this flight because you cannot get an emergency ticket. You can't wait till the plane get there to see if there's going to be an extra seat. You got to have yours already purchased and the price have already been paid. You just got to claim the ticket. It's been purchased, y'all, and you are the believer, and Christ paid the price if you will just accept it and call him Daddy, Father, Abba. Surrender yourself to him. And the thing that I love about it, it's not a temporary blessing. It's eternal. It's going to last forever. You can't beat God-given, no matter how you try. This prize that you are getting because you are being adopted into this family will take you out of this world. And it will last, and it will last, and it will last, and it will last throughout all of eternity. But you got to know that He is your Father. You can't walk around and say, I'll claim Him next week. You ought to do it now, because we don't know where death is. We need to know that He is my Father, and I have surrendered to Him. Prayer, brothers and sisters, and I know you know this, is the sincere desire of one's heart to an Almighty God. And please, ma'am, and please, sir, don't just pray to Him when you're in trouble or when things seem to not be going the way that you would have them to go. You ought to pray without ceasing. You ought to be able to call Him anytime. And we say so many times, and the thing I love about talking to God, you don't have to pay roaming charges. It's always a local call. No long distance. And I know some of us probably have minutes to spare, but you don't have a certain amount of time that you can talk to Him. You won't ever have to have any rollover minutes. You just don't run out. It's always there. Point number two. God is addressed as our Father. Said earlier, Father lets us know that it's a family. And it's in relationship. I know sometimes when we talk about fathers, and you hear so much about the absent father. But I stop by to tell you that this Father is always there. He's never absent. He's always there. He's just waiting on you to come by the house or to call Him on the telephone. Call Him up and call Him Father. And this shows that the one that is in heaven is our Father, the believer's Father. And thus there need to be a relationship that we have worked on that's in the unseen world and the seen world. You might not be able to see the relationship that you have with God, but you know that it's there, because it is determined by the way that you treat the rest of us that's in the family. You have to nurture relationships. Sometimes the relationship might get strained, but it's just strained. It's not broken. Because they tell me now that they're making this gorilla glue and gorilla tape that'll just about put anything back together again. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. The gorilla glue in the church is called prayer. Sincere prayer will fix anything that's wrong. And I know from having seen most of you one or two days that you have had to use the gorilla glue of prayer in your own walk, in your own relationship with other brothers and sisters that are in the house of prayer. And the thing that I love about using, especially when you use the Gorilla tape, you can't see the stuff that's holding it together. You can see the front of it, but you can't see the back of it. The back of tape is what's holding it together. I'm telling it to you like this because just because you see or you hear Brother Joe and Deacon Westbrook arguing and going on at one another all the time, you're looking at the outside of the tape. You're not looking at the inside of the tape. The inside of the tape, if they didn't act like they act towards one another, there would be nothing to hold them together. But see, when you turn your life over to Christ, the outside might look like nothing is wrong, but on the inside, there'll be trouble and turmoil everywhere. But you don't let it come to the outside. Why? Because it's family and we're in a relationship. Prayer has a way of healing everything that can go wrong in the church. And if it doesn't seem like it's healing, just call him. Just sometime when you don't know what else to do or you don't know what else to say, just call his name. Just call the name of Jesus. Say that the name of Jesus, they shall flee away from you. I don't know about y'all, but there's been some time in my life when it ain't been a whole lot of days ago when all I could do was just say Jesus. Just call his name, just to be able to hear his name being said, and I said it. That's one time when my own voice sound good to me, when I call the name of Jesus, and I know that he's in my family, and I have been adopted into the family because we have the same Father. And I say, our Father, and I say, my brother Jesus, I love him because of what he has done for me. You got to develop the relationship. There's something about a relationship that we have with one another that trouble just doesn't seem to break the barrier. Listen now. Family stays together. What is it? A family that prays together, stays together. You got to pray and you got to talk to your daddy because he understands and he knows everything about you. He has whatever you think you're standing in the need of, and there's no surprises to God that you are where you are in your walk with God now is not a surprise to God because he already orchestrated it. I love him because I know wherever I am now, he see me out of it. He does not see me like I am. He see me like I'm gonna be. Thank you, Lord, for letting this relationship develop. I know it's not didn't develop just because of me. It's because of who my daddy is. My daddy's somebody. Hey, I got it written down here, so I got to tell y'all about it. You remember in Luke chapter 15 when the old man, the daddy, looked up and he saw his son coming off in a distance. He forgot everything that he had. It was not kosher to see an old man running down the street. I can just see him grabbing the back of his robe and pulling it up and tying it across. He looked down the road and he saw his son and he ran to meet him. That's called relationships, y'all. Father and God is that way about you. No matter how bad a sinner you may think you are, surrender your life to God and call him our Father. Point number three. I love this, y'all. I didn't have this until yesterday morning. I had some of it, but I didn't have it all. But I got it now, whether I give it to y'all or not. I got it. Point number three. Our Father. And then I put a dash. And then I put another word. Where? And after where, I put a question mark. And then I answered my own question. I'm getting smart. He's in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. I think I might have copied this right. Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. I know where he is. He is out of this world, this physical world. So the believer must direct his or her prayers to heaven. And it is there before the throne of God that Christ, help me, Holy Ghost, is appearing as my mediator for me and the rest of the believers. We must come boldly before the throne of God, our Father in heaven. But we must approach him respectful. Oh, you can walk in there and come in there before him. He says, come boldly before the throne. But you can't come in there arrogant and acting like you own everything. You know how we do sometimes. You walk in Walmart sometime and you own the store. So you think. But when you approach the throne of God, you can come in there with boldness because of Christ, what Christ have done for us, because he have connected us together. He tells us to come. He's in heaven and he wants us there with him, so he's prepared. Heaven reveals where the power source is. The power that God has is so strong that it can come all the way from heaven in no time at all. That's just the way he is. And I can't explain it. I can't explain it, because if I could explain it, he wouldn't be as great as he is. Or if you could explain it, and I know you're smarter than I am, if you could explain it, he wouldn't be as great as he is. You cannot explain this God that we talk to in heaven. All the way to glory, our Father, I talk to him, and it's just like he's right there. And I love this about him, and I love the same thing about a whole lot of the rest of y'all too, but whatever I tell him, I don't have to worry about hearing it again, because he locks it up in a chest. He calls it a chest. Inside of his heart, it puts it in his heart. And though if you got grandchildren, they tell me you got some treasures locked up in your heart that can't nobody get them out of there but that grandchild. And if you feel like, why do you think God feel about you? He just got it, and he's in heaven, and he wants to bless us. We do not have some blessings that God have for us because we don't trust him enough to ask him for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll look at you just one-on-one and tell you the same thing. You need to come before the throne of grace of God and ask God for what you need. And we call needs want sometimes, but if you need something, you ought to have the relationship with your daddy that he can do that. And I keep saying this, and every now and then my father's gone, but I remember when we were trying to buy the home where we live now, the lady that worked at the bank, my dad worked at the bank there with her, and she was going to finance our house, and he told her we were looking for a house. She said, tell him to come up here and talk to me. I went up there to talk to her, me and my wife. We got the house. She said, she called my daddy by his first name. She said, Alex said, y'all pretty good people. I said, thank you. She said, I want to sell y'all this house. And some of you might not know this about Crestview, but in 1975 and 70s, us didn't live across on the other side of the railroad track. Us lived on this side of the railroad track. See, Brother Hughes nodding his head, he remember. And Valley Road was a long ways out of Crestview. And she was going to try to sell us a house out there on the other side. Sister Wheeler lived on the other side of where I live, not her and Sister Classy. But and then you didn't live out there. But she sold based upon what my daddy said and what the record that my wife had established, because she paid all our bills. But the point I'm trying to get across to you is that daddies, real fathers, can do something for you that nobody else can do for you. So why? Because they love you. And I know sometimes, I know earthly fathers sometimes have a bad name. But you need to look from where we come from. We come from the best that the world has ever seen. That's Christ Jesus, Lord God Almighty. That's it right there. You got to know where it is. And it's left up to you how the relationship is between you and your father. Every human being that's been born after Adam and Eve got a daddy. No matter whether he's at home or he's gone, you still got one. Good, bad, or indifferent. But the best father is in heaven. And that's the one that you're going to spend eternity with. So you need to get the relationship, develop the relationship so that you can go to him anytime. Anytime. Might not can go to the bank anytime. Might not can go to my friend anytime. But you can go to your heavenly father anytime. And you can be in difficult situations, and you can be where sometimes they think you ought not to be talking, but you still can go to your father. Because you don't have to tell him you fixing to talk to him. You can talk to him. But you have to develop the relationship, and you have to know that you can go before the throne of God. We don't have a lot of the things that we should have because we don't have enough gumption to ask him for them. Just thought of a story, and I didn't have one, but I'm going to tell it right now. Man died, went to heaven, walking around the complex, the place called heaven, looking at all the big warehouses, buildings, and he walking around and he saw the sign up there. Says, for lack of a better way of you understanding, says Crestview. Says, that's where I live. Said, okay. Kept walking around. Saw Sunshine Avenue, Sunshine Street. Deacon Brunson said, that's my street. That's where I live. Then he saw a big warehouse, said Sunshine. And he said, what's in that building? He said, you don't want to know. He said, what's in there? So can I go in there? He said, yes, you can go in there. He went, opened the door and went in there. And it's just shelves all around the building. Packages on there, up there, all over the building. He looked over there, saw them all. What's your house number? 1213. House number, I thought it was 12 something. 1213 Sunshine. He saw a box with those numbers on it. He said, that's my address. I said, what's that? He said, come on, let's go. He said, no. I said, what is that? He said, that's a present, a gift that God had for you. But you wouldn't ask him for it. You wouldn't ask him for it. So it's still on the shelf in heaven. Because you wouldn't ask him for it. I picked on him because I know he's not going to get angry with it. But some of us, that gift is a healing that he got for you. And you won't ask him for it. It's bringing a wayward child home that you're too stout-hearted to ask him to bring them home from your heart? Or just whatever, a peace of mind about where you are with him, in your walk with him. One of them could be the relationship with your heavenly Father. You might not have asked for that. You need to ask him to help me to develop the relationship so I know that I can come to you anytime with anything and it's going to be all right. You need to understand that God's just waiting on you. And he's in heaven. And what he has for you, he can bring it down here. It's already there. And I know that's a little simple story, but y'all, God got so much for us that some of us are not going to ever get it because we won't ask it. I'm going to raise my hand. I know this, and she haven't told me this. The gift that she wanted her husband to surrender his life to Christ, God gave that one to my wife. Because here I stand. And I've said this before, and because of her relationship with God, she could ask him that. And I know that she's the reason that I'm here now, because she prayed for me. And she didn't, for lack of a better word, she didn't hell hack me about coming to church. She got up every Sunday morning, got Patrick and Lori ready for church, and left. Didn't ask me about going. She just went on. But she just kept praying. And when I started, Sunday school started at 9:30. At Lebanon Baptist Church. I was at Lebanon Baptist Church by 9 o'clock most mornings. I would leave her at the house because she had a relationship with God. And she prayed. And I know she did. But you have to develop the relationship with them. And Jacoya, falling in love with Jesus. That's what you have to do to develop the relationship with him. You got to fall in love with him. And when you fall in love with him, then you'll understand it. Why it's that way. Point number four. Hallowed would be. That means to be counted holy, to be treated holy, to be counted and treated different from anything or anybody else. Hallowed be thy name. The believer is to pray after this manner. Father, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy, set apart, different from all other names. God's name is holy. It's righteous and it's pure. It is above, it is before, and it is over all other names. The believer's prayer is for God's name to be adored and honored by all men. All men. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God has done everything that there is to be done for me. He's made the world. He's given life to it. Man owes his very life to God. So the very first thing that man should do is praise God. Because praise is what I do and praise is who I am. You got to praise him if you're going to develop the relationship. And we stand and we sit and we recite that prayer and it. Sometimes I think it just leaves us
We have no meaning of what we are saying. I want you to look at it different and be thinking about how who you're talking to. And if you're developing the relationship that needs to be developed with him. And if you don't develop the relationship with your brothers and sisters that you look at every day, you can't develop the relationship with him. We need to develop that relationship. Hallowed would be thy name. The name of God is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. There's no other name under heaven whereby which men may be saved. Just call on the name of Jesus. When everything else seemed to fail, just call his name. Just say Jesus. They got a lot of them other long names, Jehovah, Shalom, Jehovah, Saniki, and all. But grandmama just said, call Jesus. And when you call Jesus, everything will be all right. There's about 16 or 17 of those different names. But I can't remember all them. But I can remember Jesus. I can remember God. I can remember my Father. Hallowed would be your name. Need to get chill bumps when you call his name because you value the relationship. You know where he have brought you from and you have an idea based upon his word where he's going to take you to. He's going to take you to a place where you're going to live and spend eternity with him. You got to talk to him. You got to develop the relationship and you got to honor him. And you got to not take his name in vain. You got to do that because you love him. Because you love him. You got, and he tells us to, he wants us to be holy because he's holy. He wants us to be just like him because we are his children. Point number five. Thy kingdom come. That's in verse 10. The believer is to pray after this manner. Father, let your kingdom come right here on this earth. Let Christ rule and reign in the hearts and lives of men. We need you to send them on down. Thy kingdom come. Let your kingdom come to this earth. Let men, women, boys, and girls see how it is when your kingdom come to this earth. It's a request that's made. I'm going into the future. I have an expectation, something I'm expecting you to do for me. It's something that is not now existing on this earth. God's kingdom has not come to this earth. We making a request, and when we say it, that's why I say it, we need to understand it's not just something you just up and say real flippantly, like you just doing what you're doing, just going through the motion. No, you need to get serious about this. He's saying this is a model. This is how you're supposed to pray. You don't necessarily have to pray these words, but it's an example of how you ought to be able to do it. It's a request for the rule and reign of God to come to this earth. My question to you is, could you stand for God to be in charge of this earth right now in your life? If you can't stand for that, you need to get on your knees and ask him to come into your life. Because when you say that prayer, the mild prayer, or when you recite the mild prayer, if you recite it word for word, you're asking for him, for his kingdom to come to this earth. And if you are not, haven't surrendered your life to him, if he come to this earth and you haven't surrendered your life to him, you won't be with him. You will be in hell. You'll lift up your eyes, because when his kingdom come, he's going to judge sin. And if sin is found in your heart and you haven't asked Christ to come into your heart, you ask for his kingdom to come. And when his kingdom come, if you haven't gotten into the kingdom, you're going to be excluded. So you need to make sure that what you're asking for, you really want it to come. if you want it to come. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ, you will surrender your life to him because you want to spend eternity with him. Lord, let your kingdom come. Somebody said, come, Lord Jesus, because the world is getting in such a bad shape. Say, hurry up and come, because if you don't come, some of us won't make it because we might turn and go back, but you can't rush him. I'm glad that Jesus did not know when he was coming back. You just got to be like Sister Evelyn said the other day, get ready, get ready, get ready. You need to be ready so when he come, you'll be able to step on board. You won't have to get ready. This is getting ready time right now. If you're not ready, you need to get ready for his kingdom to come. Point number six, thy will be done. What is your will, God? The will of the work that please God is all that we do. We need to please him. If we do our part to see that God's will is done, it's a done deal, because God will use you to get his will done through so somebody else can see that his will need to be done. You need to do what you do to please God. I'm glad you asked. How do I know? It's in his word. We need to study this word to show ourselves approval and rightly divide the word of God. If you study God's word, God will give you the insight of how you supposed to live. If you don't know how you ought to live, you ought to pick somebody that you know is a believer and talk to them and see how they're living. And God will put people in your life that can be a model to you. Some I think about some of our older people that come along before us whose shoulders we're standing on. They might not know how to read, but they knew how to get an understanding of God's word. My mind goes to some of those old deacons that I knew. They did the same hymn all the time, and you never did see them with a hymn book. Somebody had told them, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? They kept saying it, and they kept saying it, and they kept saying it until they committed it to memory. And then they would stand up on Sunday morning. They kept a piece of paper in the book where the same hymn was every Sunday, and they'd open it up to that same page every Sunday, and they'd line it, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. Couldn't read it, but he had it in his mind and in his heart, and he lived it in front of it. Might not can read that writing, son, but I got it in my life. Sometime, we say it all the time, the only Bible they'll read is your life. If you want them to read, when you want them to read what God wants done, sometime you need to model it. Might not be able to read it, but I know what it looks like when I see it. Don't know what the writing says, but I know what somebody told me that I trusted said. This word of God is good today, just like it was yesterday. It won't change. There'll be no remodeling of it. It's still God's word. Thy will be done. I surrender to you. You're my father, and I want your will to be done. You got to do like your daddy said, because one of these days you're going to have to go home, and you can go a whole lot of other places, but you're going to end up at home. I'm glad you asked. Home is being where daddy is, and God is our father. And if you don't live like he wants you to live, when it come reckoning time, he'll come and he won't claim you as his own, because you have not walked the way he would have you to walk. When you said, thy will be done, you didn't mean it from your heart. You meant it from your head. You didn't have it because you could have helped someone, and you turned your back on them and walked away from them. And God put you there so you could do what they needed to be done. See, sometimes God uses you to get done what he wants done. He gives you what he needs for them to have. And sometimes it's just a word. It's just a pat on the back. It's just nodding your head when they're talking. Might talk nonstop, but you stay right there and you listen to them. Let thy will be done, the will of God, thy kingdom come. You are my Father because I love you and I'm coming to you. Lord, I love you and I thank you for blessing me. Let's pray. Let's pray. Man have four things. There's four wills that he's constantly involved in. That's his own will, the will of other men, and the will of Satan, and God's will. That's not necessarily the order how they need to be. God's will ought to be first. May other people's will ought to be second. My will ought to be third. And the devil doesn't have a will. Now when it comes to God, God's first, you're second, and I'm third. If it goes that way for everybody, God's will be done, and we will honor him as our Father. Let's pray. Stop not praying. Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. Just pray. If all prayer is a conversation between a child and his father. God's my Father, and I need to talk to him all the time. I need to be able to come in his presence. Let's pray. Tell your story, and I'm through. And I read this, and this is supposed to be a true story. This lady was on interstate. Excuse me. I don't remember what state it was, but she was traveling, and it was back in the 60s or 70s or somewhere along in there. I forgot when it was, but by the end of the story, some of you will be able to tell me when it was. She was driving on interstate, and her car broke down, and it was raining, and it was cold, and she just sat there in the car for a while with the flashes on, and nobody would stop. So she finally said, well, I know if I get out there, I'm going to get wet. She said, but I got to get out here and try to flag somebody down. She got out the car, started waving and waving and waving, and people just kept zoom, zoom. And then one come along, and he slowed down. He stopped, and she was out there beside the road. He pulled over, come back to see what was wrong with her, and she told him her car was broke down. And he said, well, so right up here is a station, and they can help you. Said, get in, and I'll take you up there, and I'll see that you get back and see that your car get fixed. He carried her up there, and she saw the people at the station, and they went down. Took them a while. They fixed her vehicle, but this gentleman stayed there with her until the vehicle was fixed. She got in her vehicle, thanked him, and left. And she asked the service station man, said, what's his name? Because she heard them talking, and they talked like they knew one another. He gave her his name, and she got his name and went on. She was on her way to the hospital to see her husband. Her husband was sick, dying, and she made it there just in time before her husband died. She went on, did the necessary things of burying her husband and taking care of everything. 5 or 6 months later, she went back by the service station. This man told about where this other gentleman lived. And he noticed in her vehicle she was driving one of these big RVs, and she had a big box in the back of it. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, her and the man was talking as he was taking her to the station, and he told her that he had a little child at home, and the television and all had broken, and so the child didn't have anything to do. but stay inside since it was cold and couldn't go outside. The box that she had in there in her car, he told her where the man lived. She went to his house and knocked on the door, and he answered the door. When he came to the door, she told him, said, come go with me to the car. Went to the car. Inside of her car was a 55-inch flat-screen TV. He said, what's this? She said, this is for helping me when you did. Said, you didn't know anything about me or where I was going at all. He said, no, I didn't. Said, I helped you because I would want somebody to do that for me. She said, well, I appreciate it. Said, I made it to the hospital before my husband died. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't know. She said, it's okay. Say, it's good. And she gave him the TV. He went to go in the house, and he turned around, and he asked her, he said, by the way, said, what is your name? She said, my name is Miss Nat King Cole. He said, why you didn't tell me who you were before? Said, if you would have told me who you were before, she said, then you might have would have assisted me because of who my husband was. Said, but since you didn't know, you assisted me because of who your father was. I was supposed to have been the wife of Nat King Cole. And this man assisted her, not knowing who her husband was. Beware who you entertain. For when you entertain strangers, you may be entertaining angels. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. If you come to Christ, He'll take you just as you are. You don't have to change a thing. But in coming to Christ, you will change something. You will change who your Father is. You will begin to recognize Him for who He is. Will you come to Christ today? Come just as you are. Don't try to change, just come. And I promise you, He will receive you just as you are. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. Amen.